Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Hello, everyone, and good morning, but welcome. Ooh. To tonight's, it's nighttime, right? The sun is out. It's great. Welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here to recap tonight's episode of Big Brother Canada 10. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong. Rob has left us. Rob has left the building. He no longer is interested in Wendy's. Look, you can only eat Wendy's for so long before you start to get tired of it. I get it. He didn't like the winner's looks. It was a whole thing. But with me tonight is Iman. How you doing, Iman?
Yes, this is official, an announcement. I will be taking over Rob's position at RHAP. Once again, it is AHAP. So I just want to thank Rob for all that he's done for us thus far.
That sounds like a car insurance company.
Yeah, or a senior citizen insurance company.
That's what I was thinking for.
Taking Rob out to pasture. What can I say? It's my time, baby. No, I'm just kidding. But thank you so much for having me. Glad to be back. Once again, I need to stop banging this on the damn desk, because every time I'm on the damn update or recap, I always watch them back sometimes, and it's always me making noises with my mic.
You gotta get a new arm. You gotta get an arm that won't transfer the noises.
Yeah, like what do you like? I need like, yeah, because this is, I mean, don't get me wrong, Rob gave this to me and I appreciate it. It's lovely, but it is quite noisy. It's a noisy arm.
Yeah, we'll make it happen. We are here to talk about tonight's episode. It was the Monday night episode. It was on at 7 p.m. Eastern. When I was streaming on Twitch, somebody came into the chat at about 8 p.m. Eastern and was like, oh, damn it. It was on at 7, wasn't it? Like, yep, they did that to us. They had it on at 8 for multiple weeks, and then they changed it to 7, and now it's on at 7. So, we're here tonight. It's 8 p.m.-ish Eastern now, and we will be talking about tonight's episode.
I will say, you guys wanted us all, production, Arisa, you wanted us to be evangelists for your show, and I have been, but it is making it really hard for me to tell all of these people to watch this show at different times. Three nights a week is already one thing, but three nights a week on separate times, it's like, what's going on? Come on. Like, let's get one set schedule. I mean, this happens every year, but if you're not used to it, you're just like, oh, like what? Like, what do I do? So I'm glad that from here on out, it is 7, 7, 8.
Yes. Right? Or 7, 7, 8.
Yeah, yes. 7, 7, 8.
7, 7, 8. Well, I did think tonight was a good episode. I enjoyed it. I thought that I actually thought that it was very good, and especially coming off the back of, I think, a series of fairly disappointing Monday episodes where a lot of the airtime had been spent on pointless, who will I nominate conversations. I thought that this episode was, It felt like it was edited by a person who knows the show and what's happening and what's important.
Yeah, the editors were like, we just hope we don't disappoint Taryn. They just want to make sure that everything is told in a concise and clear manner, straight to the point. What happened on Feeds is what you will get on the show. Yeah, culture is changing. Culture is shifting. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. And I thought it was a pretty fun episode as well. There's a lot of, there's some drama here. Mm-hmm. We had some legends show up.
Yeah.
The Pax Bros.
Yeah. But I'm chump. This is great. I was definitely on the edge of my seat, during Thursday's episode because I wanted to know who the legends were going to be. Obviously, we were going to be spoiled eventually because they were going to be able to, talk about it on the feeds afterwards, which kind of did take the air out of it for me. we kind of knew who to expect, but it was still a lot of fun. It's always great fun seeing all of these past BB legends come back and pay homage to the show that put them on the map in the first place. I feel like Canada has been so great at doing that. And we do it down here a lot as well. You know, there's always someone knocking on the Big Brother US doors and coming on in. Now, whether or not people know who they are down here is, I feel like, a lot more likely to happen than it is up north. But yeah, it was great to see all these people come back. Y'all invited Godfrey back for this HOH, but y'all couldn't invite him back for season 5.
Right. Yeah. Loved seeing Godfrey, especially like doing the pose.
I know. He did the most work too. They had him all set up in like this apparatus. I'm like, damn.
That could shit. Not have been comfortable.
Not at all. At all. Mm-mm.
Cindy in the room, worried about the Netta nomination. We got Jed with the headphones for the fake double eviction. We'll talk about that.
I will say, as an official Netta Big Brother double eviction expert reenactor, I will say there were a few things off. One, Cindy's hair was not that long. Okay. So
unbelievable.
I just feel like it's just not really true to the character, but I applaud her for her attempt. See me afterwards, Cindy. I have more notes.
Yeah. You know, I'm astounded that they didn't consult you first personally. That
I know, right?
Really could have done so much better.
I know.
We got Spicy V counting rocks.
I forgot what that HOH was about. I was like, why is she surrounded by... And then I was like, oh, it's the one where they were dropping the rocks. See, that was fun. That was fun. I feel like there was a lot to choose from for Spicy V. I don't know if I would have went for that one. I might have gone for the one where she's like...
Do you want me to put that up?
Yes, that one. That one. I mean, it might have been a lot to put that big-ass bed in there. But I would have gone for that one. I maybe would have gone for the scene where she is like, you know, faking out Keith for whether or not she won the secret, or won the secret HOH. That would have been fun. Like, there was a lot to choose from her. I don't know if I would have gone for the rock.
Right now.
So cheese.
So much. Audacity. Just so much. So much ammo.
Yeah. And then the poutine poppy. Looking so good, looking so buff in there, Anthony. Love it. And I like, I, you know, this is, Anthony just needs to be there. That's his legend.
And Anthony needs to just be him. Here as well. Okay. We talked about this a little bit before the show. Anthony, I'm publicly calling you out. This is the second time where I've been scheduled to be on a recap and I would have been gotten the chance to meet and see the great Anthony, the lion, okay, in person, and you have backed out. And I'm starting to take it personally, okay? Next time, I'm coming to Canada, all right? And we're going to see who the lion is. No, I'm kidding. Please don't take that as a threat because my skinny ass. I am kidding. I am sure that Anthony has something to do or he's under the weather. He'll be back, I'm sure, later on. Hopefully, I can be here for it.
Yes.
A little hurt.
we did. We had good timing. We were going to have Anthony on the recap tonight. That's why there's only two of us now. But unfortunately, he is not feeling well today. So we are going to have to reschedule. We'll make sure Amon gets on so that we can issue that statement in person.
I was joking.
All right. So I liked seeing them. I honestly wish we could have like maybe heard from them a little bit. Like, you know, I think that would have been fun, but I think it was fine. It was, yeah. And it was fun to see them all freaking out about seeing all of the legends. I think this is probably the most enthusiastic and excited I've ever seen Josh. In the house, he said,
yeah, that's just true alliance. We heard about like who's number one, who's number one. That's Josh is right there. He told us right then and there.
He said after the competition, he ran inside and he went,
where is Cindy?
Wow. A true Cindy with an S fan. That's great. I love him.
So we hear from Summer. And this is important. And this is part of why I really like this episode everything you saw in this episode was relevant to things that are happening in the house. And one of those things is that Summer doesn't really feel the need to win the HOH. She feels very good about the fact that she was able to get Kyle on the block last week without even having to win HOH. And she kind of wants to just ride that wave. Now she wants to do the same thing. Doesn't have to win HOH. She'll control from behind the scenes. And so she's not really looking to win, and didn't really pay too much attention to what was behind the doors, apart from some very specific things.
I was not paying attention to what was going on. I was paying attention to what was going on, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, we know what you're saying, girl. We know what you're saying. Like, look, I mean, look, most people always look better in person, too. I feel like that's like a running theme that we see a lot of the time when current BB house guests will meet their idols. They'll be like, oh, my God, you look so much better than you did on TV. I never know if that's considered to be an insult or not. But I mean, as you stated before, Anthony, like, come on. Like, he barely even fit inside there. Jed was looking like a tall drink or something. Like, I get it, Summer. There was a lot going on, coupled with everybody running around and all sorts of doors to see. Look, I probably would have been in a similar boat. Probably.
Yeah, Herman is kind of upset with her afterward. He doesn't like that Summer's not trying very hard. And when he confronts Summer about it, she's like, well, what do you want from me?
My heart said false, but my body said true.
I mean, Herman's not entirely wrong, because Summer has mentioned in abundance that she plans on winning HOH during like week 6 or whatever it is. And we are, what is this, week 5? So I wouldn't go as far as to say it's like an intentional, like, I'm throwing the hell out of this comp. She's definitely given, you know, she's given it a shot, but it's also not like she's like needing to win right now. So I totally could understand if Herman is sort of getting a bit of that vibe, because it's there. It exists.
Yeah, and this frustration is important, because it is causing a little bit of a rift between Herman and Summer and some of the other allies that that Herman has. That he's really looking for players that are going to be trying to win things and actually winning things, because he needs allies that are winning things, because he's in trouble this week when it doesn't happen. Now, you know, Herman should also be trying to win things, and part of that, I think, would be not missing the Cindy door.
Yeah, that was a whoops. Very, very, that's, and you know, it had the potential to become a very clown shoe moment. Like, that would have been a fatal flaw. So it's not good. Not good. I don't even know how that happens. Like, you hear everybody screaming all of the names of these past house guests. If I hear Spicy V, one of the girls that was just on the television show, I don't know how you just go back and stroll back on down to the outside. Like, all right, well, ready to go. Like, come on. Like, what is this? Like, whose door were you at for so long that you just completely ran out of time to go back and see Spicy V? And if I were Spicy V, I would be so offended. I'm shocked that she's not on Twitter right now. Like, how dare Herman not come to see my door? How dare he?
Yes, it was the Spicy V tour. Man, he just gets all of those questions wrong. And the thing too is that, like, the people that made the tiebreaker got everything right. So, if you get even one wrong, you're out of the competition pretty much. And man, Summer was getting so many of them wrong too.
Yeah, Summer was, she was not there. Her brain said false and her answers were false. Okay,
just my heart said false, but my body said true.
Yeah, it wasn't happening. Not this time, sis.
Yeah. So Jess is gonna take it with the amount of balloons in that first veto competition. There it is. Jess has the win here for the HOH, and now people are gonna have to talk to them. This is like high school. Nobody wanted to talk to them, but now they're going to set up some comfy seats. They're going to lay some trays out, and hopefully people will have to now come sit at their table and converse.
Yeah. I mean, not to psychoanalyze Jess too much here, but I mean, we saw a lot of this in this episode. And, you know, we sort of seen this behavior manifest throughout the week, but they are really wearing this badge of honor for being the nerd of the house. They've really fallen into this role, and we'll never really know the exact minutiae behind why they ended up on the block with Hermann as HOH in week one, and how much of it had to do with them sort of just not being socially aware and missing certain social cues and things of that nature. But it seems like once that happened, it's just been, you know, as we've been talking about for the past 4 weeks, it's just been a constant game of defense and catch up. And I feel like in a way they are sort of comfortable with having this cross to bear. It felt very much like, I am the nerd and now it is my time to shine. And I was like, I feel like part of this is also you, Jess. Like, I don't know if this is entirely just the usual story of Revenge of the Nerds. I feel like bits of your social game are to blame as well for this. So I'm just, I just found that it was very interesting that they really drove that point home throughout all of their DR sessions this episode.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a valid point that, you know, the HOH means that they're going to have an opportunity to talk game with a lot of people. But it's not a substitute for a social game. Like, you also have to be able to make people feel comfortable and make people feel like they want to work with you. Mm-hmm. Using the, you know, the sort of foundation of being the HOH to jump off from that. So, you know, once you get them at your table, you've got to get them to a point where they're not dying to leave, as Kyle learned, right? So, we'll see how that goes for Jess. Kevin tells us that, this is great for him. This is great for him because he's Jess's number one, but...
I'm Jess's number one. Jess is not my number one, but this week I'm certainly pretending and I'm going to be up there in the HOH room pulling the strings.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, look, Kevin came into this all prepared to be this villain, this slimy, smarmy character, and then he wound up in like a bit of hot water, and then he had to deal with Beth being on his back, and then he started acting all weird, and just like his game was just sort of like up in the air for the past couple of weeks. But now that Jess, somebody that he feels completely comfortable with, is in power, now he's back in the DR being like, yeah, like I'm gonna be the villain of the season. Yes,
I'm a bad boy.
I'm like, all right, Kev, all right, get your fine, you know what, I'll give it to you. You're getting your moment. It's lots of fun. Now let's see what you can do with this week.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing. He's not lying in this moment. He is Jess's number one, and Jess is not his number one, and he has pretty much called the shots on this HOH enough to get what he wants through so far. And he really is kind of doing a number on Jess to the point where when he tells Helena about it, he's like, it's kind of effed up. He's kind of like, I've got Jess. If you're wondering who Kevin's real number one is, we believe it to be Helena. It's not spoilers or anything. The thing that Kevin has been doing in the diary room when he votes is his Helena final two thing. So that is the I don't think that's been on the show at all yet, but you know, something to keep in mind as you watch the episodes. I'm sure it'll come into play at some point, but that's who Kevin is actually loyal to at this time, if Kevin's you know, actually loyal to anyone, but the person he's working the most closely with. But they're doing a very good job of hiding it to the point where the show barely even has anything to use.
I barely even remember that it's a thing until it gets brought up. So yeah, I would say that mission accomplished, definitely. And I'm sure we'll see it, you know, if Kevin ever were to come into power, or if Helena were to come into power, or if, you know, a vote happens to come down to the two of them. So we'll see, maybe.
And that's, again, like, this is huge because Kevin has been doing a lot of influencing over Jess's HOH. So getting this diary room line and getting the scene of him suggesting the nomination, saying this is a very simple week, all very good stuff, very representative of Kevin's role in the week so far. We also get a conversation between Jess and Jace as they discuss the relationship that they've been building. And Jess mentions that they are looking to potentially make some inroads with their relationship with the showmance, which is another big part of this week and another important conversation to showcase. I really feel like this episode didn't really waste any time or any segments. You know, they even got lucky with Wendy's being the summer convo because obviously summer is pretty relevant. So good stuff here.
Yeah. Kyle, after Kyle left the game, a second portion of this game, I think, really did start. I think Kyle's HOH was a great punctuation mark, and it did sort of lay the groundwork for a lot of what we are beginning to see now and how the house is beginning to divide itself in like three ways, I would say. Gino, Jace, Marty, and Jess has been a thing that is, lights are turning off. Oh no. it's beginning to
getting darker.
Getting darker. It's become a thing that is sort of be getting a little bit more traction as time goes. And Jess, of course, any four of them winning HOH, you probably would have seen this happen regardless. Jess winning HOH was like the perfect breeding ground for this little four-way thing to start to sprout its wings.
Yes, and it's primarily built on the relationship with Jess and Jace. The Gino is not nearly as close with Jess as Jace is, as you know, was evidenced by the fact that Gino put Jess on the block last week. They are trying to build something here, and this is partly why they are not going to be putting Gino or Jace on the block, despite the fact that is what a lot of people are going to be pitching them. Jess instead is going to have a conversation with Herman. Herman is like, all right, time to do my due diligence, time to put in the work. And this is what I love about Herman. He's always willing to put in the work, even when it's fruitless, even when it's not going to work, he's still going to try because sometimes it does. And in quite the reversal from one of the first episodes of the season where Herman is HOH and Jess is sitting on the other side and they're talking about olive branches, we are now back in the HOH room. They're sitting in opposite positions and more talk of olive branches. I at this point, it's just like, can we move past olives, please? Yes, we can. Let's talk about onions.
Let's just talk about the entire food pyramid. You know, I'll start at the top with the sugar. You start at the bottom with the carbs, and we'll find our way in the middle with the veggies. I agree. I love that Herman has been the one that we see constantly speaking to the camera, saying like, "Oh, here we go. I'm not gonna want to do this, but got to do this." He was right. I mean, I think he knew in his gut this wasn't going to be great. And Jess is right. Herman has been consistently saying their name. I mean, it's really sort of bottom line, cut and dry. I think with the way that the house is also sort of beginning to divide itself, it just makes even more sense in Jess's head to put him up. I don't think that there was a lot that Herman could do in this conversation that wouldn't have resulted in him being in any more hot water than he already is with them, because we got to see what was going to happen with Moose. So he was able to, he at least had the foresight to be like, yeah, I know where this is kind of heading, and you know, I'll do what I can and, you know, sort of do the dance, but it kind of is what it is at this point.
This is kind of a situation where, and this is not something that Herman shies away from doing, it's just you can't always do it with everyone, but this conversation probably needed to have been had before Jess won the HOH, and it didn't, because again, like, I mean, Herman had this conversation with a lot of people before the HOH. He really mended fences with a lot of people. He made a big connection with Josh. He did a lot of good work before the HOH, but sometimes the luck is just not in your favor. And Jess winning this one is a big, big loss for him. Now, I don't want to say he got too unlucky, because there were other people that would have done the same thing. There were a few people in this house that would have, but you can't win them all here.
I think there might have been, like you said, if he had spoken to Jess beforehand, because we do get to see that Kevin is sort of the one that puts a lot of this into Jess's head. about who to go after and things of that nature. And I think that there might have been a small window of opportunity, because Jess is correct. Like, Herman, you did tell me one thing and then go and tell the house another thing. And so how am I supposed to believe that you're lying to them and not to me when you were the one that put me on the block? So if you had actually told me ahead of time, look, I'm going to say your name just because it's going to make sense for my game to say your name, because I already put you on the block, but just trust and believe I'm going out to other people, then maybe she wouldn't, or they wouldn't have had to have pressed you so hard later on in this episode about what the true intentions were, because now it's like you have nowhere to, you're up against the wall now. So maybe if you had gone before the HOH comp, immediately after the HOH comp, even if it looks like you're just trying to suck up in those small moments, even if Jess is like, well, wait till tomorrow. If you had been the first person in that room the next day to say, look, here's what's been going on, this is where my head's at, this is how I think that I benefit your game if I stay here, I understand wanting to put me up, this is why it might not be a good opportunity for you. Just as stubborn and as stalwart as they can be in their own opinions, I don't think that they are completely against talking things out. They're a fan of the game. Yeah. They know how to see things from all types of sides. I think that there was definitely a small chance that this could have gone a different way.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. I think Jess is the kind of player that would have gone in the route that they found the most logical. And at the end of the day, Herman and Moose are the two people who most consistently over the course of the first 4 weeks of the game have not really bothered to develop as much of a relationship with Jess as most of the other people in the house. Everyone else in the house, like every single person, has done a better job of developing a relationship with Jess than both Moose and Herman. Herman obviously put them up in week one. Then Marty didn't put them up. And even though Gino put them up, he did work pretty hard to maintain a relationship with Jess throughout. And Jace also worked hard to maintain a relationship with Jess. Whereas, you know, and again, like sometimes you just can't keep a relationship with everybody. And for Herman, Jess has been the kind of easy person to throw out. Like that would be who I could go after. And same sort of thing for Moose. Moose, obviously not quite as active a player as Herman, but, for Jess, these were the most logical people to target. And so all you needed to do is get in there and find, a path forward that made it less logical. But to do that, you would have had to predict that Jess was going to win this HOH. So, mm-hmm. Is not much you can do there, and then you also have to counter the influence that Kevin has, the influence that Marty has, Helena. A lot of people were looking to take a shot like this, so Jess getting up there and being susceptible to that logic and being in a perfect position to take that shot means that they're going to be pushing pretty hard for it as well. So it was definitely not a great situation here for Herman. He says, "You know, don't judge me too quickly, you know. I'm like an onion." And they say, "Oh, because you're smelly and you make me cry." I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was pretty quick.
Yeah. I'd have been like, "Yep, that's exactly what it is."
It's like, no, because you know, layers.
That's all right, Shrek. Ogres have layers.
Moose is also going to try his hand at having a conversation with Jess. And this time, instead of it being an olive branch, Jess says that they're throwing him a bone. But I guess he's not taking the bone. I don't know. This was, Moose also tried, is basically the message here.
Yeah, I don't really know what Jess wanted him to do, but okay. I mean, the bone's not looking pretty juicy. I don't know what to tell you, sis. Not working.
Mm-mm. Are bones juicy?
Dogs be acting like they are. That's for damn sure. They will chomp on that thing until the dust. I don't know.
The real juicy. I'm just imagining dogs in their mind be like, "I can't wait to get my teeth on that juicy bone."
Like, look, hey, to be in the mind of a dog, one good time.
I mean, once it's all like slobbered over, it's pretty juicy, right?
I would say so.
So it's not looking great for Herman and Moose. Moose, after his conversation with Jess, he's going to make a super fan Moose. He's going to make a reference here.
Oh, would you look at that? It's the block calling. Hello? Yeah. Don't worry, I'll be right there.
Yeah. Because we know he knows who Dr. Will is, right?
I think it's time that we stop paying for the service of the phone in the DR. I'm a little tired of the Chill Town reemergences every season. It's a little annoying. But it's Moosey Poo, so I'll give him a slide.
Yeah, I mean, for those that may have forgotten or don't know, that Moose has no idea. Moose has never seen like a second of this show, so he just stumbled upon the doctor's thing here. He also they put the sound in for him, which is way worse than bring bring.
Yeah, yeah, it's like production's really just hamming it up at this point. Yeah,
yeah. You know, it reminds me of how casting told DX that he was going to be the next Dr. Will, and he had no idea who that was. And then I picked him in the draft. And then I feel like they probably felt the same way about Moose here in Canada. They were like, he's going to be like a Dr. Will type. And I picked him in the draft. And I also didn't know that he didn't know the show. It's just all happening to me again.
I mean, it's you know... It might not be out of the realm of possibility he has some sort of like giant comeback. He's not out of this yet. So maybe we'll there is hope yet.
We'll see. Okay, so we're going to Wendy's. Summer is being taken to Wendy's. Jess chose Summer because of the conversation that they had with Kevin that we saw in the episode where Kevin mentioned that he felt like Summer was probably playing the best game right now. And so they felt like this was a good opportunity to have a conversation with Summer, try to get some information, try to see where the conversation can go. And, so they go to Wendy's and, oh, look who's here. It's Nick. And he's got some advice. He says, this is like your HOH is like a painting, like a piece of art do you want to do some light strokes to sort of like, that you can fill in later? Like, or do you want to make some bold strokes that are going to set the tone for the rest?
Do you want to evict yourself again or not, Nick? Just answer me that. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, which one is the, can we put ourselves up on the block?
Yeah, where's that at? Give me that advice. I want that. Give me that.
I appreciate that he actually seemed to put some effort into this answer, as opposed to maybe some of the previous ones who were pretty generic.
Yeah.
After Nick, Phil shows up. And Jess, who I'm sure is so excited to see the Pax Bros, has this response. Oops, that was very quiet, I felt. Let me just turn this up so that you can hear it. Jess had this response. Oh my God, both of you, fun. Yeah,
that's what everybody would say to me and my twin sister whenever you'd walk in a room at like 10 years old. Oh my God, the both of you, siblings, woo! Package deal, baby. Yeah.
And then they say in the DR too,
the Pax Bros! To get two messages for the price of one is pretty awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think they'd beg to differ when they had to split that grand prize money, but, you know, it is what it is.
How serious is Jess with these statements? How are we giving it like 20%?
I don't know. I was about to ask the same thing about the Pax Bros because they were like, we're rooting for you. It's like, are you? I want one of these HOHs to come on here and be like, well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think you was going to win this HOH. And quite frankly, I haven't really been rooting for you, but I'm glad you did. Like, good luck with the rest of the season. Give me one of those. I want some honesty. Enough of this Wendy's fluff. No wonder Rob left the Monday show. We need some more grit when it comes to this Wendy's stuff, okay? Come on now.
Well, here's the thing though. Like, I feel like Jess, you know, comes into Wendy's. I feel like the person that they're rooting for most of the time, these winners who are recording messages, they're not watching the show. So they probably are rooting for the person they gave a message to.
Probably. You're not wrong about that. I think a lot of these alumni are constantly coming onto the timeline from time to time, being like, okay, so I was doing this. So tell me what happened in this week of Big Brother. I haven't been watching Pace. Like, you said that last year, sis. You said that last week. So what's the tea?
Tell me who to like.
Tell me. It's like that copy and paste response on that you see everywhere online. Like, I'm not reading all that. So congratulations, or I'm sorry if that happened. Like, that's sort of like where they are at with it.
Look, I said this to Josh Wigler during Celebrity Big Brother. Like, Big Brother Twitter is very easy. All you need to do is say something negative about the person that everyone hates. And occasionally say something positive about the person everybody loves. So all these Big Brother players, some of them have tapped into this. All they need to do is be like, so what's been happening on the feeds lately, guys? And what they're really asking for is, who should I make a mean tweet about, and who should I make a happy tweet about so that I get lots of engagement?
You know who was really good for that? Miss Rennie. It was like, oh, BB19, man. You didn't hear nothing from her for years. And then all of a sudden, she came out of the club of New Orleans being like, oh, that Paul figure just makes me nauseated. And then we get like 1,000 likes. I was like, where has she been? Everybody's living for it. That was like the best part of being
perfect. Oh, I love Rennie. Oh, man. That Paul is inappropriate.
Just inappropriate.
Okay, so did you catch what they ordered? I think there was some more poutine that happened.
I remember watching Summer eating poutine. I can't remember what Jess got, but yeah.
And Jess's winner's look. What'd you think? The jacket.
I literally don't even remember.
They really like the jacket. I will say, I feel like of the winner's looks so far, I feel like it was probably the best one.
Okay.
Which isn't like saying like a lot, but I feel like I did think the jacket kind of worked for Jess.
That might have been when I went to go get ice cream from the fridge, because I literally cannot picture what they were wearing. I was listening. I had it in my ear, but I don't know what she was wearing or what they were wearing.
Yeah, it happens. So Jess is going to talk to Summer, and Summer says, "Look, I'm part of the Mandams, and I'm wanting all the men out. I'm taking the men down." And this is interesting. There is a separate alliance that Summer has with Jess called the Siblings that they are not leaning into here, obviously. The Mandem alliance is an older one, but it's I guess still technically exists, like many other alliances that technically exist. Did True Fuse ever make the episodes? I feel like it did, didn't it? Or did it not? Did they just show up doing the thing? And
yeah, I think that's what happened.
Remember that, everyone? Remember when people just started randomly voting and making like this symbol in the time room?
Honestly,
for one episode,
like that's probably gonna end up being HOH fodder for another HOH comp in the future, like BB Can 11. It's like the museum of voting signals of BB Can 10. Like,
yeah, this there were plenty more. So
I would just, if I were on Big Brother, I would just troll y'all, especially week one. I would just be like, everybody, when you get in the DR, just do something different. Like, everybody, just do whatever you want. Every week.
I'm just picturing like getting into the DR and just being like, hi, Arissa.
Or just like,
and like, is that your alliance thing? Like, what's happening here?
Or just like completely turning the other way. I vote to evict.
I want to like sit in there and just like, Oh, I've been expecting you, Arissa.
No.
Oh. People would hate it. It would be terrible.
Who do you go to evict, Arissa? How about you answer that question?
People would be like, how dare you? How dare you ruin the sanctity as a super fan? So disrespectful.
Yes.
So Summer says that she wants all the men out, and this is great that Jess is the HOH, because Jess can take all the heat and all the blood. They can do all the work for her, and she won't have to lift a finger. This is exactly what she wanted.
Yeah. I was sort of shocked when we sort of, you know, we got a chance to see this. I mean, we knew that there was a little bit of a rift going on between Summer and Herman, but I mean, from my understanding, I thought that it was still definitely a workable alliance, and it definitely still is. It's not like it's completely thrown out of the window, but for her to be so willing to do it, I was like, damn. But you know, maybe Kevin was right. You know, she campaigned against her own mother. Anybody in her alliance is, if it's not a woman, you can go.
Yeah. There you go. So Summer's okay with these nominations. Summer's okay with this. Jess is going to then go ahead and give Moose and Herman a heads up that they're going on the block. And this is where I really felt like the episode to this point, this is all very good stuff. I mean, all very, like, it's all important. It all matters to the content of the week so far. But this is where the episode really diverges from what they would normally do, because normally we would then get like another few segments, like another 15 minutes on like, maybe I'll change my mind. Maybe I'll put up Gino. Maybe I'll put up Marty. Maybe I'll put up Tanisha. And then,
yeah, did they like do the whole shortlist thing this time?
They didn't. Lo and behold, it would be the people that they initially talked about, because that's pretty much what happens, unless you're Kyle. So instead, they fully show us the conversation where Jess is going to let them know that they're going on the block, and they're not going to hide it from us because it's dramatic and important. And so they go to Moose and they tell Moose, I'm going to put you on the block. And Moose, I think that's a mistake. I think there are other people you could put up. And Jess like, who? You want to make a mistake and tell me? Feel free. And Moose says, I think you should put up Kevin and Betty. I think that's what you should do. Betty has done literally nothing in this game. And I think that they haven't had a chance to prove themselves. And I think this is your best option. And these words are very important, because Moose is going to get in trouble later about it, and it's going to be a whole thing. And we may even revisit it later. Who knows? Certainly not me. It's not like I watch the feeds. So amazing that we see this conversation. I mean, and that they show the relevant parts of it. I feel like this might be a first in Big Brother Canada history that we're seeing like the actual receipts of something ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, they do. Now that you mentioned, it's a fair point, because I think that they, HOHs usually get to be the hero of their own story on Big Brother Canada 9. Or just be with the Canada in general, except for the monstrosity that we got to see, which we don't really get a chance to see a lot of the time in Kyle's HOH. So, yeah, there were some messy moments in regards to her conversation with Moose, her conversation with Herman, how that transpired with Betty. And right before they're about to do their nominations, we get this whole moment of clarity with Jess where they're like, oh, I need to do a better job at being HOH. And typically you don't really see that. So yeah, pretty interesting. And it's going to definitely have some ramifications later on. Definitely.
Yeah. So Jess is also going to go to Herman and let Herman know that they're looking at putting him on the block. And Herman is also like, I don't think you should do that. So Jess is like, well, look, this was very effective last time. Why don't I just do this again? Well, Herman, if not you, who should it be? And Herman's like, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to tell you names so that you can use those names to then throw me under the bus and send me out. Like, this might be the first time I've heard this spoken out. Like, obviously players have in the past have been smart enough to not do it, but this is the first time I think I've heard it spoken aloud that like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a rookie mistake. People that don't know the show would fall for that. And some people that do know the show still fall for that. Talking about you, Kyle Moore, the previous. and so he's like, I'm not going to do that. And then Jess gets like, it's upset about it. Like, why aren't you giving me names? It was like, why would I give you names? You're putting me on the block. Well, maybe I wouldn't put you on the block if you gave me a good enough name. And it's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, Jess. Like, and I understand where they're coming from. It's like you're the one that's in this position right now. I'm the HOH. I'm the one that could potentially keep you off the block. You should be trying to appease me. This is you're the small guy. I'm the big guy in the situation right now. And also, you did tell me one thing and then go ahead and do another. So why can't you just prove to me that what you said in the beginning was the truth? I get all that, but HOH does not mean that you get full access to everybody's games. It can mean that if you're good at being HOH, if you're good at, you know, coaxing things out of people, but not everybody is like that. And I think Herman sort of laid out what, you know, how far he was willing to go in the first conversation. Things are not going to change all of a sudden because you're going to put him on the block. If anything, that's only going to make him clam up even more. Granted, I liked what Mary had to say on the update the other day, and that, like, well, it's not exactly a bad thing to try because Moose just went ahead and did the exact opposite. So, you know, kudos to you for trying to give it a shot. But honestly, I don't even know how much ammo would have been worth it at that point, because if you have all of these people trying to tell you to go after Herman anyway, it's probably likely that those are the people that Herman would name drop. So are you really gaining anything? You're going to put him up on the block, and all you're doing is furthering the discontent for Herman in the house anyway. So it really is a net zero gain here. So just put him on the block and call it a day.
Here's what I think the response for Herman should have been, because I think that Herman would probably respond well to this. And this is, I mean, if they were able to make this response to Herman, they probably had a better relationship with Herman in the first place. But I think that Herman would respond well to, okay, if not you, then who? And Herman goes, I'm not going to tell you that so that you can use that to throw me under the bus. I think if Jess had been like, all right, it was worth a try though, right? I think he would have been like, yeah, good try. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you could immediately like resolve that tension. You know, you're still putting him on the block and everything, but like, there's no reason to get upset about the fact that he's not falling for the trick. There's no purpose to it. And there, especially when you're the person who's in power right now, like, you should not be getting upset with the people that you are doing wrong to. Even if they've done wrong to you in the past, that doesn't mean that you are now like fully justified in like continuing to hit them while they're down. It's like you need to be able to accept that with power comes great responsibility. All right.
Thank you, Peter Parker. Thank you, Peter Armstrong. It's just not good. And I think that they did not handle this the best way, because you're already making the bold move and putting up two big targets in the house. One of them is going to stay. We know this, right? So the least that you can do is placate one of them to the best of your ability. If Herman is going to be your target, then at least go and tell Moose, look, this is what's going on. I got to put you up because optics. And Herman is my true target. I don't want to see you go home. Hopefully we can build off of this. I know that you had this whole thing with Kyle the last time. That's not what I'm looking to. I'm not looking to, you know, have you have the same experience on the block. When Kyle put you on the block, it was like, a 3-day trip in hell. When I put you on the block, it's really just this a really easy week for you. So just, you know, just enjoy it on the block. Just do this for me, and then we can ride off into the sunset next week. But no, you didn't do that. Not only did you have this admonishing tone with Herman and tell him why it's his fault that he's on the block, now you're going over to Betty and telling her exactly what Moose said about her. And now Moose has no reason to be happy with you. So now you have both people, one of which is going to stay. And it's like, Jess, this is the complete opposite of what for someone that was supposed to be, you know, getting the revenge of the nerds. You're supposed to have a plan afterwards as well. We talk about this all the time. You need an escape plan for your HOH. Every single HOH, you need to lay the groundwork for the rest of the game. And you just sort of, hell hath no fury, I guess. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. So Moose is going to run to Kevin and be like, oh my God, Kevin, I just said your name. I was put in a position. He's trying to do pre-damage control. And this is a very funny segment. He's like, I'm trying. Now I got to run to Betty before Jess gets to her. And whoops, Jess got to Betty first. And that means that Jess is going to relay the conversation that they had with Moose. And Jess actually relays it pretty accurately here, at least in this portion of the conversation. Again, relevant later. But Betty's going to take this and be like, please don't, you know, say anything to Moose. Betty sees Moose and she's like, I just couldn't help myself. Yeah. I saw Moose and I was just like, no, I got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Betty has felt so insecure from jump about not being able to win competitions. And that was just the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess. You know, I just, even though what she heard is not exactly what Moose said, and small spoiler, they do get a chance to hash it out later on, and Moose is very intentional with saying words matter. Words mean things, and I did not say what you thought I said. She took it that way and she went off. And I think that piece is because Betty might deep down believe a little bit of what people are saying about her, because she hasn't been the best in comps. She didn't do the greatest in the HOH comp. She hasn't won any of the vetoes that she's been a part of. So it wouldn't be surprising if there's like a small piece of her that's like, damn, like I cannot get my social footing in this game. She got Kevin on her back. Like, it's just, there's a lot going on with Betty right now. She's really going through it. So, and now she's got this like a whole secret power thing going. So it's just like, she's just a bunch of stuff going. Like, Betty is going through it. So she's just in a very volatile position right now. So, you know.
I just love Betty in every argument that Betty has, because it's, you can't even really say that they're arguments, because nobody ever fights back with Betty. They always,
she's like, I don't want to talk to you. Don't say anything.
And it doesn't matter that they don't fight back, because Betty is perfectly capable of fighting both sides of the argument, like having, like holding the argument entirely by herself. She just goes in, just hears like, Moose said you're doing literally nothing in the game. Okay, I won't say anything. The second she sees Moose.
My alliance wasn't blown up, yours was. Wasn't it? I'm not the one that's going on the block for the second time, you are.
If you watch the show, which I think you do.
Yeah. And so she says,
so don't pitch my name. That's rude.
Okay.
And I won't stand for it.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And I don't want to talk to you either.
And I don't want to talk to you.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Just like, don't say my name unnecessarily.
It just doesn't stop.
Don't say anything. You told me I was a horrible person, Jess. Yeah. And I meant that. Okay. And yeah.
Don't pitch my effing name. That's rude. Okay.
It's not rude. It's not rude, Betty. As the great LaToya said last year, you know, if you do hear your name, you should hear your name, because this is Big Brother. Okay. And your ass is on the block already. Your blood is diluted, as people like to say. Don't take it so personally. Don't take it so personally, Betty. I know that it's hard not to in this house where your life is just the game. I get it. But you cannot continue to behave this way, Betty, because in some ways it is helpful, because I do think that it is sort of turning her into a goat a bit. People are just like, you know, she's getting into it with everybody. Like, I feel like it's going to be pretty easy to win against her. So let's just keep her around. So I think this is not the last time we are going to see Betty blow up on somebody. I just hope that she can couple this fire with, I don't know. I don't necessarily need for her to win anything. I think if she's going to focus hard on winning competitions, then I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. Yes, they can help and you can, you know, get targets out. But I think if you just do a little bit more of establishing yourself in an alliance and, you know, working your social game a bit more, then I feel like you can be an effect, be more of an effective game player, because I don't think that Moose is wrong. Maybe Moose could have used a different word if he didn't like the word that he used, but he's not wrong. Like, Betty, you, your gameplay is a little inconsequential, and it's okay to say that. And it's okay. That's not an invalid thing, a point to make when you're trying to save yourself from not going on the block. I am someone that can help you in this game because I have the ability to win comps. This person, I don't know. Can they really help you in the long run? That's a valid argument. So just, I just hope that she can, you know, move forward and sort of have that foresight in the back of her mind.
I really want to see Betty in the final two. giving her pitch to the jurors. I just want to say that if you don't vote for me, that's rude. And I think that I would just wouldn't even talk to you anymore. I wouldn't even want to talk to you. You'd be a terrible person. So please give me your vote.
Mm-hmm. It's like, as they're all like putting their keys in the, and the little key wheel, she's like talking over it the entire time. What was that? Did you put that? Whose name was on there? Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm not the one that got voted out in the jury. You're the one that got voted out in the jury. I'm sitting here in the final two chair. You're not sitting here in the final two chair.
Arisa's like, you didn't get the vote to the end. What do you have to say? But don't ask me, ask them. I didn't do anything.
I would vote for Betty. I'd be like, you know what? I'm in. I don't want to be rude.
That's a good point. I might too, especially if there was one that was probably going to win in a landslide. I'd definitely be the person just to
genuinely stuff. I would seriously consider at this point in my Big Brother life, I would genuinely consider, if somebody insulted the jury on purpose in their final two speech, I'd be like, you know what, I like what is happening here. I appreciate
the audacity.
It's great stuff. Mm-hmm. It's how the whole thing kicked off when Dr. Will said that if you don't like him, then you don't like reality. The problem with reality. We also got Herman's reaction. Herman was great in this episode. After Jess leaves Herman in the conversation where Jess is trying to get Herman to name some names, Herman just like, what?
Yeah. Like what? Bro.
Yeah.
I cut that together because it was too long, but what? Bro. Yeah.
You are absolutely outside your mind, fam. Outside your mind, fam. I will hold my cards here. I will take my spot on the block. I will play until the end. Put myself off, and then I will see your ass next week.
Honestly, production, do not call him into the DR anymore.
He's way better. Yeah,
exactly. Just leave him out. Just have a camera feed on him as much as you can whenever he has these interactions. This is so much better than the scripted stuff that we get season after season. Just leave it at this. It's great. One thing about this conversation that was so like, I was just like, oh, just come on. It's like when they basically tell him, yeah, I'm going to put you up. And he is sort of like, all right, well, thank you for letting me know. I'll just have to fight in this POV. And then they get up to leave. And they're like, okay, well, I guess that ends this then. And he's like, well, I'm not saying you have to leave. I'm just saying, it's like, Jess, you cannot. What did you expect him to do? Like, did you expect him to, like, I mean, did you want him to beg? That wasn't going to happen. Like, you cannot be upset if someone is sort of like, all right, well, thanks. I appreciate it. Like, and then you don't get to be the one that is like, all right, well, you are the one putting him on the block. You don't get to be the one that is upset about this. Come on. You're just so annoying.
Yeah. And this is going to go right into the nomination ceremony. I can't believe I forgot this. After Betty talks with Moose, and by the way, like, keep in mind how Moose is responding to all of this, because it's A, hilarious, and B, how Moose responds to conflict.
So don't pitch my name. That's rude.
Okay.
And I won't stand for it.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And I don't want to talk to you either.
That's all right.
Don't be sorry. Just like, don't say my name unnecessarily.
And then after she's done with him and she finally leaves, he just goes,
Oh, Moose. Yes, he's getting verbal lashings week after week. Just getting it everywhere.
He's getting it. The bull in the horns or whatever it was. Jess is going to make their nominations. And they nominate Herman and Moose. And how dare they? They are so disrespectful here. Herman is going to stand up. He's going to do a little dance. And he's going to sit down. And Moose is going to make a face as well. And Jess is given a big ol' eye roll. Oh, can't believe they're disrespecting my nomination ceremony. Come on. Every week we come on the podcast after the nomination episode. And I come on here and I say, here we go again. Yet another example of a nomination ceremony. The HOH gives a by the book speech. You're a threat. You backstab, whatever it is. And then the nominees are in the diary room talking about, like, you know, it's totally fine that I'm nominated for eviction. I don't even care that I'm nominated. It's the speech. I can't believe they said that in their speech. It's the speech that I'm upset about. I'm not upset about the fact that I'm on the block. I'm upset about the speech. And it's like, no, you're not. You're upset about the fact that you're on the block. In this episode, the HOH is in the diary room after the nomination ceremony, as though they were the ones that were just nominated for eviction, going, you know, I would be totally fine with the fact that I just put up Herman and Moose for eviction, except I can't believe the way that they walked to the chairs. I mean, unbelievable. So disrespectful. Like, what is happening? You're the HOH.
You better be lucky that that's all I did. You better be lucky that if I like Millie rocked to the table, if I like did a cartwheel over to the damn nomination chair. Like, come on now. Like, I mean, what do you want? What do you want? You're the HOH. What else is there to do? You just had Wendy's earlier today. You got all sorts of tea about what's going on in the house. You got some targets to put up. You did everything, okay? You did everything. All that you have to do now is just sit there and hope that one of them doesn't win. That's all you can do, okay? You cannot expect them. And Moose didn't even really do anything. Moose, all he did was do this.
Yeah.
What do you want them to do? Like, walk like poor little schoolboys? Like with their heads hunched over, like, oh, I can't believe I'm on the block.
They just got nominated. Let them have their moment. You know, they can handle it however they want. You get the sense that Jess is not used to being in a position of power. That like they just don't know like how to handle it, I guess. And that maybe they're just like just not used to it. I don't know. But whatever the case is, yeah.
It's also like, you know, she or they have been on the block so many times and it's been such a tense experience for them. And they've felt like they've had to sort of like fight so much and be on the offensive. And I get it. And I guess this time around, I guess they expected for Herman and Moose to react the same way and to feel like to have the fear of God in them that they could go home. And I'm sure that that's there. Like, I think that both Herman and Moose know that there's a big possibility that they can go home. Moose is probably not going to be as, you know, running around because it's already happened to him before and he was this close to going. And, you know, Herman, he's just not that guy. Like, even if he is, you know, on the inside screaming, he's not going to show it. So I'm sorry that people aren't reacting to the block the same way that you are. You know, responses may vary. You know, check with your doctor. Like, I don't know what else you want. It just is what it is. So,
yeah. So that's the episode. But we did get less an announcement and more like it felt like a reminder. But wasn't told to us before. It was like, by the way, this next double eviction is not your average double eviction coming on Thursday. Like, hold on. First of all, it's a double eviction. I couldn't tell if Amon was if he was frozen or if he was just still making the face. I still don't know. He just moved.
Arisa. Arisa.
I genuinely thought you were frozen.
No, I was here the whole time. You know, that's exactly what I was doing when Arisa announced this. Arisa, darling, queen. What? What is going on? What? If a double eviction is like, we love those. We love doubles. We want to know what's going to happen. I mean, granted, if you're going to watch one show throughout the week, it's probably going to be the Thursday eviction, so you wouldn't have missed it. But what's going on? And I'm seeing people that are saying, so apparently back in season 4, this is what happened the last time when they did the fake double, is that she didn't announce it during the Thursday prior, or she waited until the middle of the week. So now I'm like,
We don't talk about that.
season 4. So I mean, is that what's going to happen? I'm like,
they will.
And also, is jury not starting? Are we getting a 7-person jury on a 16-person cast?
Seems like it, right? Because this is going to be the 5th person evicted. So unless they start jury halfway through the double eviction, which is not, you know, out of the realm of possibility. I think U.S. has done that before, but. You know, it's starting to look that way, maybe, but you never know. It's not your average double eviction, so who knows? Maybe they fight for the shot to get into jury or something. I don't know. It could be anything. My guess slash hope is that this is nothing like that which will not be talked about from season 4. And it's more like the fake double eviction from season 9, mostly because what happened in season 4 is that there was already like precedent. For like, there was a room that people were in and they were living in that room. And then when these people left, they went to that room. So it's for those that don't know, you're making me do this. You're sucking this out of me. I'm reliving trauma right now. But what happened is in the double eviction, 2 players were evicted as per usual. They then went to a room that people had been living in prior to them being in there. Because one of those people ended up, coming into the game. I'm not messing that up, am I?
I don't think so.
I am messing that up. I'm sorry. That was season 2.
Season 4.
It just felt like the same room. So that I'm completely off about this. Anyway, they went into a room that was in the house and they were watching, feeds, with no audio. But they spent the week in the room watching. This is because I blocked it from my memory. This is why I'm getting the details wrong. But they were locked in the room and they were watching video feeds with no audio of the players in the house. They were comparing notes the whole time and they were watching the players and who they were talking to and all that stuff. Right. And so then one of them ends up coming back into the game with knowledge that they should absolutely not have. And literally the rest of like, with that knowledge, they demolish the game of Mitch and the rest of the season is really the Pax Bros winning their way to the end. And that's how we get the Pax Bros.
Oh my God, both of you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of the least popular twists they've done. I think that last season people really enjoyed the fake double eviction and how that played out. I would imagine if they're going to pull from one of them, it would be season 9 rather than season 4. Yeah. But it might not be anything that we've seen before. Not your average double eviction kind of implies it's not something you've seen before, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like a normal eviction and then like a, no, that would just be a double eviction. I don't know.
It could be like, that they, I bet they're doing something with the doors, but the doors.
Yeah. I was like, maybe they'll make somebody live behind one of those doors.
What if they do my idea? And it's like the person that survives the block opens a door and maybe gets HOH. And that's how they do the HOH comp for the double. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's an hour show. We're not getting 2 hours, so whatever it is, it's going to have to be quick. So I would assume it's probably a fake, and one person goes and the next person comes back somehow, and I'm hoping that it is season 9 version. I wouldn't even mind them living in a separate, like, I don't mind if you do season 4, just don't give them feeds. Just like have them live in that room.
Keep them themselves. Separate. Honestly, it was the note comparing that did most of the damage. But you know, that was the problem with season 3 buyback as well, where when they get to compare notes, like you just can't, there's no possible way to prepare for there's no reason for them to lie. They can just trash your game.
Like when you're playing Among Us and you're like the engineer or whatever, and then you're inside the damn vent and you see everything go down. It would be like if you're
playing Among Us and you go into the dead chat and then get to go back into the game and be like, so these are the imposters I found out from all the dead people. It breaks the game. So
annoying.
Yeah.
Annoying.
Which is why the fake double in 9 was good, because they were, they did get to briefly talk, but it wasn't
not
a lot of talking.
To download each
exactly.
Other. They were all kind of there for everything anyway. So it wasn't. Like,
yeah. And it
able.
Happened very quickly. Like, there wasn't like a big download session. It was just the two of them. It happened right away. Like, that's how you do it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Yep. All right. So. That's the episode. Amon, anything else we need to talk about from the episode?
No, but I think that is it for me.
All right. Well, let's get into some spoilers. There's some stuff to spoil here as we run through the what's happening on the feeds. But if you're bouncing out now, I didn't tell you to bounce. Why are you bouncing? That was a reference from the episode.
Wait, I don't get it. Did I miss that?
That was what Jess said. I'll bounce now. And her mom was like, I didn't say you needed to bounce.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
right. But of course, we'll be back on Wednesday. Not live, but we will be recapping the Wednesday night episode for those watching that. And then, of course, on Thursday after the episode, we'll be live to talk about what went down on the eviction episode. So check all that out. If you are into the feeds, stay for the spoilers, or just check out the updates every morning or the roundtable tomorrow night. That should be a lot of fun. And come hang out with me watching the episodes live on Twitch during every episode, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. But let's get into the spoilers here. Let's update you on what's going on now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. Here we go. Let's get into it. Herman and Moose on the block. They go to play the veto. And the winner of the veto is...
I'm not called Stir the Pot Poppy for no reason.
Boom, it's Herman. Herman wins the veto. There you go. A nominee winning the veto yet again, which means Jess is going to have to name a replacement. And this is causing all kinds of drama. Now, there's lots of details that we could get into, but if you want to get into them, just check out the live feed updates if you have not already. The point here is that with Herman taking himself off the block, the replacement nominee is Tanisha. That is the plan. Jess is going to kind of drag it out in terms of pretending like they're considering other options, but in reality, it was always Tanisha. And so the real question is, who are they actually going to target between Tanisha and Moose now that Tanisha is on the block? And I think we actually have some tentative information on that. It had been going a little bit back and forth. If you listened to the update this morning, you heard that there was a tentative plan to flip the votes on Tanisha, but then Moose and Jess got into it again a little bit, and Jess had kind of changed their mind a little bit, and the votes aren't like locked in necessarily. So take this with a grain of salt. Listen to tomorrow's update for full details. But from what I've been able to gather, the feeds have been down most of the day, which is why we don't have too much information. But from what I can gather, since the feeds came up after the episode, there is reason to believe that the plan to take out Tanisha is loosely in place. It's being talked about. Kevin was talking to Gino about it. Jace was talking to Helena about it. With Jace and Gino and Kevin and Helena all on board, Marty is definitely on board. That's 5 votes. That's all they need. So not like set in stone by any means. It's 5 votes. You usually don't want to vote by such a slim margin. They are talking about, do they want to get Josh involved? There's still a lot of things that have to fall into place, but it seems like the momentum is kind of heading in this direction. Again, tentatively. And it may be Tanisha that ends up leaving this week.
And you said Jess is on board with this as well?
Jess seems to be on board with it as well as of right now, yes. Wow. I don't think we've heard from them, but I think we heard from Kevin saying that Jess was feeling that way, which might not be accurate, but that does seem to be the implication. But again, this is all tentative stuff just from being able to glance at what's happening.
What a disastrous HOH that would be for them. In my opinion,
they're going to have to build something, try to build something with Moose, I think. But they're also trying to the problem is that they're also trying to act like, or at least the previous plan had been that they're going to be like, oh, my hands are now out of the jar. It's up to the house now. Who's going to vote? And I have nothing to do with it. And they're kind of going to be like, oh, look at that. I'm so sorry. I really thought we had the votes, but the house betrayed us. And so now Tanisha's gone. That could theoretically work. I think Jess has the benefit of being less connected to the voting block that will ultimately take Tanisha out. And if you are Summer and Herman and even Moose and Betty, are you really going to target Jess, who's kind of like not super valued on that side? Or are you going to kind of go for the core of like Marty, Gino? Yeah, there's some reason to believe that there might be a bit of a shield there, but it's not
a bit of a shield. But if the veto continues to get used,
it's not solid by any means. It's not a great position to be in, especially when Jess has gotten into these very like unnecessary interactions with Moose and completely tarnished that relationship for no real good reason, and also has now soured the women, the siblings alliance that I mentioned before, on them, and it's definitely not the HOH that they were hoping for.
Yeah, and I think this would be an interesting move because I think it would reset the game once again, because now you have Herman, Summer looking at everybody else like, okay, so who were the people that we thought that we had? Summer and Herman and Betty, and who else would vote for Moose to go on that end? Is that just
theoretically Josh? But it sounds like they might go to Josh and try to bring Josh in. They might also go to Herman and bring Herman in as well. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And I mentioned this morning, but like if they approach Herman and they clearly have the votes already, I could easily see Herman jumping aboard and being like, I'm absolutely a part of this side. I'm with all of you. Herman has been, so part of what we saw in this episode, and this is why, like, I could go through the seeds of this episode and show you, like, why it's important on the feeds. Summer not wanting to win HOH, Herman being upset with Summer about not wanting to win HOH. Herman has been pitching to Gino, Marty, Jace, Jess, all of them, hey, we are the competitors in the house. I'm getting really frustrated with the people I'm working with who are not willing to win anything to help protect me. I want to work with people that are winning things. He's making a big push in that direction. And talking about taking T out of the game instead of Moose kind of fits that narrative a little bit, with Moose having won something, Tanisha not having won anything yet. And he could theoretically be like, yeah, I'm still on board because we're doing what we said, right? Mm-hmm. And I could easily see Herman trying to like slip in. Yeah, I don't think he would actively want like Summer and Betty out at that point, but I think he would be like trying to be safe with the numbers and say, sorry, Summer and Betty. So I could see that. We also have, all of the stuff with Jess and Moose, causing issues there, but, it's not looking great for Tanisha if this happens. And Yeah. But Josh is in an interesting spot too, where, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where Josh goes. He's been very quiet this week in terms of how he actually feels. It was interesting, actually. I forgot about this. Sorry.
But he mentioned that in the show.
In the episode, he was like, it's time for me to start drawing lines. He really wanted to win this HOH. I loved hearing that from him. This week has not played out like that at all. He has been lying very, very low to the point where people are starting to question him, as he said. And it's only getting worse. So I'm very curious to know how Josh handles all of this, assuming they let him in on the plan.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about Josh, because it's getting to the point now where the game is going to continue to happen around you. And unless you do something, you either are going to end up in the same position that you're with Kyle and just end up on the block just because, or you get to the end and you have nothing really to show for it. Like, it's, I do want to know, like, who do you give a crap about, Josh? Who do you care about? Because I just cannot figure it out.
It's tricky. I would say Kevin, but the last time I saw Josh have a serious game talk with anyone was Kevin, but it was days ago. And since then he's just had these on, I would say more mostly surface level kind of conversations. So, well, I don't know. We'll see.
I would probably hedge a bet that Tanisha will indeed be the one to leave.
It's starting to look that way, but yeah.
If, you know, there's already such a narrative in the house about how she is just such this big, massive player. Moose is also sort of benefiting from the fact that he doesn't really have a solid alliance. There really aren't a lot of people that are going hard for Moose right now. So that just...
I love that.
That just really just lowers his threat level, even in the midst of his tiff with Jess. So... yeah, it'll be sad to see Tanisha go. But Tanisha also really hasn't been the best in terms of like talking game with Jess this week and with people that are in. So it's just, you know, it's just sort of like the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, this house is very, very fluid, and she sort of just gets caught up in the tide, and it sucks.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, basically, Tanisha is in this spot where she had this perception of her circulate throughout the house. She never really caught on to the fact that it was happening, never had a chance to really correct it. And now she is likely leaving because of it. And I would say it's not just that either. I think part of it is that, that Summer is just a better gamer than she is and has been better at connecting with more people and talking more game with people. You heard it tonight on the episode. Kevin says, Summer's probably the best player in here, but I feel better about her than I do Tanisha because he has a relationship with Summer. So does Jess. And they all have a relationship with Tanisha to some degree, but Tanisha doesn't open up as much with people that aren't Summer because she's just that kind of player. She's like so loyal and like solid, and because of that, in a weird way, is seen as sketchier to the house because she's so loyal to Summer that she can't really give that to anybody else. She doesn't like have that in her as much.
Yeah, it'll be unfortunate to see her go, especially on Herman's point, because like she, I mean, even if she's not, you know, as close with you as maybe you would like for her to be, she's still very much someone that is a number for you and in your corner. And I can't help but think that this is just sort of like a score one for Gino and all of those other people, because if they couldn't get you out, here we go again.
Anthony's trying to send a message.
I know, he's cutting my power. If they couldn't get you out, then taking someone out on your side is definitely the next best thing. So I would at least hope that what you theorized could potentially happen and them trying to pull him in, we would see some pushback from him and at least try to keep her in the house, because this, I don't necessarily know how much this mutually assured destruction pact between the targets of the house is going to hold. I mean, this house is too fluid for anything to really hold. So you might as well keep what is yours on your side for as long as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing for Herman at this point is that, you know, if he has to choose between Tanisha and Moose, there's not that much of a difference. You know, Moose,
I would say there is, because Moose is, yes, I mean, Tanisha wasn't the one that was throwing your name out like Moose was.
And I mean, yes, Tanisha, but Tanisha has expressed that she doesn't trust Herman as, you know, as recently as like a couple of days ago. Like, she really doesn't trust Herman. It's not like she's like a super solid number in his corner.
True, but at least she wasn't going around to like literal alliance members that were with Herman saying like, let's get his ass out of here whenever we get the shot. Like, and I feel like Moose, yes, Moose did get caught, and he has sort of been playing like a really low key game to the point where he really doesn't have an alliance or really any number. So in that respect, yes, he's a little bit less powerful.
That's my biggest thing. Moose has no other options at this point, and I think he could be very useful to Herman, both as an ally that has no other options and as a kind of big target in front of him.
I guess. But
I mean, I'm not saying the Moose is like definitively the better option, but I don't think it's like I need Tanisha over Moose. I think like Moose staying is not the end of the world for Herman by any means. I think Moose staying is not a bad thing for him.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. I'm kind of conflicted, because I would love for Tanisha to stay for my draft, but I do love me some Moose. So sort of sucks either way.
I mean, it definitely could be a spot where Summer is able to step up to the plate again. I mean, if Summer is able to keep Tanisha in the game, that would be a huge win for her. Yeah. I think the path to do it is her relationship with Gino. If she is somehow able to sway Gino and Jace, if they don't have Gino and Jace, they can't make this happen. I think that's a hard sell, but I don't think it's completely impossible. I think the only other method is to get Jess to be back on board of like, no, this is not going to work. And maybe like the sneakily tricky way of doing that is to prod Moose into prodding Jess and getting them to disagree again and continue to sort of loop Jess into this emotional response of, no, I need Moose out now. That could theoretically work, because if Jess says, no, I don't want this, that could really put a stop to it if there are only 5 votes in place at that point. But it's going to be difficult if she makes the attempt. Yeah. And I would love to see her make something happen, because it would be very entertaining. But it definitely would be a tricky maneuver.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she sort of would have to if she catches on to the fact that Tanisha really could go here.
That's part of it. She needs to see that it's happening first.
She has to see that it's happening. Yeah. But even if she does, I mean, I just sort of worry, because we do know that there is like this really weird thing right now where, you know, it's but because of the whole disastrous Kyle HOH and the narrative that Kyle ran with like this whole cookout thing potentially happening, that was already something that JC Lynn had in her head anyway. So in her mind, it's already like, oh, great, we're breaking them all up. So any attempt to save somebody on Summer's end is always going to seem like a ploy, because all of the people of color are working together, even if there are 2 people of color that could potentially go home. And then it's just sort of like, you're sort of like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, do I fight for like the other black woman in the house to stay with me, or do I sort of just like let her go? Like, it's just like, where like they're really like, she doesn't really have, I guess in my opinion, you might as well, because the people are already going to assume,
I think she should,
that,
yeah,
then it is what it is. Because I mean, that's a conversation that Kevin and Jess were having as well. It's like, well, you know, Jess was saying, well, you know, I would love to, you know, have, you know, I love the idea of a strong black woman, which is just, you don't have to say it like that, that's kind of weird, but like, if they're going to prioritize themselves above me, then might as well get rid of them. So I feel like that's like it's going to be such a hard battle for her to win, because there really isn't much that Summer can do to change that perception that people mm-hmm. already have. So it's just, it's messy and it's sticky and it's a little weird.
I mean, this has been the season of putting good players in, you know, compromising and difficult situations. And so this is definitely going to be Summer's test here of like, can she keep Tanisha? If not, how does she recover? How does she rebound from this? Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get some good stuff from that. if this is where we end up going. But that's where we are on a Monday night here in Big Brother Canada 10 land. We'll see if all of this sticks and if Tanisha really is the one that will end up leaving this week and what happens next week, because there's, all as always, plenty of stuff going on. Anything else we want to talk about, Iman?
Nope, that's it for me. That's all
right. Well, thank you so much to everyone that tuned in here tonight. I appreciate all of you listening or watching. Hope you had some fun. Well, what an hour and a half with just the two of us, because there was so much to talk about in this episode because it was so well edited. What a great episode.
Yeah, take that, Anthony. I better stop before I start some real shit because of this.
No.
I'm kidding!
Anthony, by the way, I know Anthony, he definitely wanted to be here. And he's definitely gonna, come on at some point. He's a great guy. But that's what we have for you tonight. Again, I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today or happened today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. Even though the feeds were down for most of the day, it sounds like there's plenty of stuff to update you on in terms of the plan for the week and the votes and all of that. And then tomorrow night, the roundtable, update the stock watch. I'm sure there'll be lots of interesting discussion on the individual players there. People have been asking who is going to be on the roundtable. Asia will be joining us tomorrow night, so that should be a lot of fun. And then Wednesday night, of course, the recap. Thursday night, another recap. Plenty of Big Brother content coming your way. Make sure you check out the Taran show with Peridium that was released this week. Had a lot of fun talking to him. Yeah. And I think let's check out the Survivor stock watch that I did. I did a Survivor Global stock watch crossover with Shannon to rave reviews. People loved it. It was like 3 hours of intense strategic discussion, as you might expect from Shannon and myself coming together. So check that out. And this week, I'll have another stock watch for Survivor. Should be a lot of fun. The season's been very good, in my opinion. So check all of that out. Find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaran. Amon, where can people find you?
You can follow me everywhere at Amon Adwin, always on Twitter. Getting back a little bit into the streaming. We just did some Goose Goose Duck yesterday. It was lots of fun. You can check me and Matt Liguori over at the Choir Room on our Glee podcast. And that is it for now.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us.
Drag Race. Sorry, forgot about Drag Race. Yeah. It's just been such a long season. Oh my God.
What? Bro.
Yes. I think an episode just dropped late last night, early today. So check that out with me and Beth and Liana.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate all of you, and we will see you next time.